we introduced another step of growing in grace, that only that which is living can grow. In order to grow in grace, you must be alive in Christ. And we taught that last week from the scriptures. That means that you must be born again. You must have the new life that Christ gives. You must be regenerated or made alive spiritually by the Spirit of God at salvation. And Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, teaches that. Growing in grace means learning to be like Christ. And one of the areas that the disciples ask Christ to teach them in is in the area of prayer. It's interesting that when you study Acts chapter 1 and he ascended, remember when Christ ascended after his resurrection? What was the first thing they did, the disciples? They went to prayer. The very thing that God taught them in Luke chapter 11 and taught them throughout his 3 years here on this earth with them, that very thing is what they used in Acts chapter 1 before Acts chapter 2 occurred, and they began to see the power of God work through their lives. Last week, we learned the basics of prayer. There are a number of things that we learn as far as a basic introduction to prayer. One is we must want to be taught how to pray. A little knowledge of something doesn't give us great confidence to begin it or to be a part of it. And when we learn how to pray, when we increase our knowledge on how to pray, it should encourage us to pray. We find in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 35 that in the morning, Jesus, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, that is a private place, to pray. Prayer is important. Believers must make a commitment to pray. In our text in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2, you'll find when Christ responds to their request of how to pray, you'll find in Luke chapter 11 verse number 2 that Jesus says, "When ye pray." In order to learn how to pray, you must make a commitment to pray. And he was assuming that they had made that commitment. Every Christian needs a starting point in the area of prayer. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we need a restarting point. Sometimes we get away from it, and that was the challenge last week to you, was to have a starting point, to set aside time in your life on a daily basis to pray before God. Prayer is simply talking to the one and only true God. It's not talking to Mary. It's not talking to Muhammad or Buddha or gods that are dead. It's talking to a living God. And we learned that last week. Salvation makes it possible for me to pray. Without Christ, I have no access to God. But through Christ, I have direct access to the throne of God. And Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need." And we can come boldly or confidently because of Christ, because we know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you can come to God as a sinner through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for your sin. And you can ask God to forgive you of your sin, place your complete faith in Jesus Christ, and you can have the free salvation. You can have Jesus in your heart, as we sung about this morning, through Christ. Believers are to pray in Jesus' name. We dealt with that last week. Believers should refrain from using vain repetitions in prayer. God's not interested in us saying prayers that are ritualistic or saying the same words without meaning. And we can get caught in that, believers, if we're not careful. God says to avoid using vain repetitions. Believers can agree in prayer together. Prayer, I don't believe we value like we should. You have, and I have, the opportunity to talk to an almighty God at any time, on any day, about anything. That is prayer. And I don't think we value it. This morning, I don't want to deal so much with the basics of prayer as I want to deal with the blockages to prayer. The blockages to prayer. Anything which hinders prayer must be wrong. If there's anything that hinders prayer in my life, it's wrong. And God took time to record in the scriptures for us the things that hinder a believer's prayer life or a believer's contact with God. Prayer is a very precious thing for a believer. To have communion with God, to be able to talk to God, to be able to praise Him, to be able to take my request and others' requests before Him, that's a very precious thing. But I want you to know this morning that prayers can be hindered according to the text of Scripture. The truth is, the normal Christian life should be a life of regular, daily, answered prayers. God wants to answer our prayers. God does answer prayer. A normal Christian life should have a life of daily answers. You ought to be able to share with others, hey, I prayed about this and God answered this request. Hey, we took this before the Lord as a church on somebody's behalf and God answered that request. Hey, I needed direction in this area of my life and God gave me direction. He spoke to me. He gave me wisdom. He showed me what my next step is. Hey, we prayed for this lost person and that person got saved to the glory of God. Listen, God's interested in answering our prayers, but prayer can be hindered. One person asked her friend, do you know what God's telephone number is? She said, I know, I can't say that I do. She said, it's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. My question is this, do you believe that's still true? You believe that you can still call on God, and God can show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Because that's what the Scripture teaches about God. That's God's invitation to you. That's God saying, I want you to talk to me. I want you to bring your needs before me. I want you to have communion with me. Listen, you call and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a beautiful promise. His ears are open, the Bible says, unto the righteous cry. But there are hindrances to prayer. And hindrances or a hindrance in your life is a very serious matter that you ought to want to deal with so that the power line is connected. Last night, some power lines got disconnected. Here at the church, we lost electric for a number of hours. 846 people in our community lost electric last night because some power lines got hit and they got disconnected. Nobody likes it when you're at your house and you're without power. How is it that we become so accustomed to the Christian life without power? How is it that we can live it without contact with God? How is it that we can say, boy, we can supply everything on ourselves. We don't need to pray to God. Or how is it that I can live with a hindrance in my life, knowing that it hinders my prayer life, knowing that I can't connect to God like I should, but we don't do anything about the hindrance. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. It cuts off your connection. It cuts off your prayer line to God. I want to take you to some hindrances this morning. You ever feel like your prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back? You ever feel like your spiritual life has dried up because your prayer life is non-existent? You waver more in your faith. You doubt God more. Your time in prayer decreases. Oftentimes this is due to a blockage or it's due to a barrier between you and the Lord. Physically speaking, when someone experiences a blockage in his arteries, his blood circulation is stopped and it causes problems throughout the body. In fact, it usually causes a big problem with the heart. And the body and the heart is not getting the blood that it should. And so what do? They go in and put a stent in. And when they put a stent in, what does it do? It opens up the blockage. I talked to Nancy McWilliams about 4 weeks ago, was visiting with her. And she went in to get a stent in. And I asked Nancy, I said, Nancy, I've talked to a number of people that have had a stent put in, and they say that they can tell the difference almost immediately as far as blood flow, as far as energy, as far as their heart, all those things. She said, that's exactly true. She said, when they put the stent in, within 15 minutes, I felt completely different. And she went on to tell me that she says, Pastor, I feel so good. And you saw her in church just a few weeks ago, because a stent was put in that opened up the blockage. Listen, if God deals with your heart this morning on a hindrance, what you need to do is deal with the hindrance so that the power line can be opened, so that the arteries to God can be opened again. There are hindrances in prayer. Number one, there's the hindrance of unconfessed sin. There's the hindrance of unconfessed sin. Psalm chapter 66 and verse number 18. personal, known, unconfessed sin will cut the communication line off with God, according to the Bible. Sin hinders prayer, no matter how you look at it. Sin in your heart will snap the power line. You say, "Preacher, I just can't get rid of it. I can't deal with it." Yes, you can. You can confess it. You can agree with God about it. You can be cleansed of it, according to the Scriptures. But if you don't do that, you should know 100% of the time it's going to cut the communication line. You have no access. You have no contact with God. Psalm 66, verse number 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I take up sin, that is, I know something in the Word that I'm supposed to obey and I don't obey it. I disobey. Clip. Communication line's not there any longer. The Bible says the Lord makes a choice that He will not hear you when there's sin in your life. That's how sin how serious sin is, folks. We often talk about sin being so serious before salvation and being so serious that, you know what, it separates one from God and it's going to send a person to hell if they don't trust and believe on Jesus Christ. But hear me, believer, sin's serious after salvation. It cuts the communication line with God. You don't have the ability to pray and God hear you. That's a serious matter. Sin's a serious thing. It's not okay for it to dwell in your heart. It's not okay for you to just gloss over it. It's not okay for you to just live with it and coexist with the sin in your life. It's breaking the communication line. You're not going to see prayers answered. In that deep hour of need in your life, when you need to go to God and you need God's help and you need God's strength and you need to come away from your prayer life, boy, that burden feeling lifted. You don't have that when you've got sin in your life. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 43, the Bible says, "Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through." What a visual picture of what happens when you're living in sin. God covers himself with a cloud, the writer says, so that my prayer won't pass through to him. Unconfessed sin's a very serious matter. It may be some questionable habit in your life. It could be some petty jealousy that's brewing in your life. It could be carelessness in your Christian life. It could be a lustful passion. It may be the love of money. It could be a shameful secret. I don't know what sin it is, but the truth is, if it's there and it hasn't been confessed and you haven't been cleansed from it and freed from it, you've lost contact with God. Your prayer life, if somebody asked you to pray for them, it would be a waste of time. Because sin resides in the heart. It's not that God's hand is shortened. It's not that God is less powerful today than he was 2,000 years ago. It's not that he can't save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, according to Isaiah 59:1. It's that our iniquities separate us from God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear, because sin is in the heart. There may be some sin in there that took place some time ago and has been unconfessed, and you have not judged yourself on it. But I want you to know God sees it. And until you deal with it God's way, God says, "Will not hear. I'm not going to hear you." May I ask you, Christian, if you're living in this condition this morning, how long are you going to go without answered prayer? How long you want to live your life that way? You want it to go for a week? You want it to go for a month? You want it to go for years where God doesn't hear your prayer? God says there's a simple remedy to that. There's a simple answer. You get your heart clean again. You confess your sins to God. You agree with God about your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But until that happens, he can't hear you. What if your child's diagnosed with cancer? You want God to hear you? What if your relative's on a deathbed? You want God to hear you? I do. But when there's sin, He can't. Sin's a serious thing. Unconfessed sin is a serious thing. Secondly, unforgiveness is a serious thing. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Unforgiveness holds you captive by your own sin. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 24, the Bible says this. He's teaching them on prayer. He's teaching them about blockages. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. The same thing is taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Unforgiveness, holding grudges or enmity against others. It may seem to be a respectable sin. It seems to be a rightful sin that I have the right to do this. But it's a wicked sin that God says if you harbor in your heart, God can't forgive you. That means when you go for cleansing before God and you haven't released someone, God says, my forgiveness to you is on the basis that you have forgiven others. People who would never get drunk. People who would never gamble. People who would never steal. Who would never lie. Yet justify the sin of unforgiveness. And may I say, it's just as wicked as any of those sins that I just mentioned. An unforgiving spirit will short-circuit the power of prayer. If you and I are going to have power in our lives, there must be forgiveness. Prayer is answered on the basis that our sins have been dealt with and forgiven. There are people that cry out to God, save my mate. Lord, restore my child. Get my child back to the Lord. All the while harboring unforgiveness in their heart. God says, I can't help you. Unforgiveness cuts the power line in your life. You're asking deliverance from a trial, but unforgiveness resides. All the time, holding on to an unforgiving spirit. And God says, you put something between me and you. And until it's removed, you have no access. Unbelief, the third blockage that we see in the Scriptures is the sin of unbelief. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Christ wanted to do a mighty work among the people in Mark chapter 6. But there was unbelief. The Bible says in verse number 5 of Mark chapter 6, and he could there do no mighty work, not one, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and them healed a few folks. And he marveled because of their unbelief. In James chapter 1, it talks about asking God in faith, nothing wavering. That means to ask God. When we come to God in prayer, we pray with faith, believing that God will answer. But these people had unbelief. He could not do the mighty work among them. In James chapter 1, it says, for the person that wavereth, the person that comes to God with unbelief, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It's a blockage. It's a blockage. It keeps God from pouring down blessing. It keeps God from doing mighty works in and through our lives. What is it? It's unbelief. It's saying, God, I'm bringing this to you, but I don't really think you're going to do it. It's saying, God, this might be too big. It's not even bringing the impossible before God. It's giving up that God is almighty and can do things beyond what we can comprehend. It's living in unbelief. And unbelief is a blockage. There's a fourth blockage. It's called fainting. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. Probably every believer here could be guilty of this one at some point in your life. And that is, you've prayed, and you've prayed on something, and you've prayed on something, and then you finally give up. You faint. Fainting is giving up on something. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, the scripture teaches us, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I ask you, Christian, this morning, is there a prayer request that was near and dear to your heart at some point in time that you have given up on? Maybe it's a lost relative, a lost father, a lost mother, a lost mate, a lost child, that at one point in time you were really burdened about. You began to pray about that person. You began to make a daily commitment to pray for that person, that God would save that person. But you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and then you got up to a point where you said, I'll forget it. God hasn't answered it. Forget it. That's fainting. That's a blockage. God can't answer a prayer that he no longer hears anymore. Maybe there's something that God's bringing to your mind that you used to pray about and you gave up on. And God's saying, revive your prayer for that again. Revive your prayer for that person again in your life. Many faint before the answer gets there. Many times our prayers are not met because God sometimes wants us to go through the waiting process to build our endurance and our commitment in prayer to Him. Beware of fainting. There's another blockage. It's called unresolved marital conflict that hinders prayer. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. To have a blockage is serious. If you went into the hospital and they said you've got a 95% blockage in one of your arteries, you need to do something about it, and you need to do something about it quick. We want to take you in tomorrow, and we want to put a stent in, or we want to do open heart surgery. Would you sit there and go, why don't you just let me think about that for 3 weeks? Doctor says you may not have 3 weeks. This blockage is serious. It could bring a heart attack. It could bring a stroke upon your life. Change your life forever. Take your life. Let me think on it. Most of us would not say that. Most of us would say, doctor, do what you have to do and do it now. Because there's a blockage. And it's serious. And my friend, if there's a blockage in your prayer life, it's serious. It's not something you need to think on. It's not something you need to sit back and just, well, you know I need to get rid of that, but no, it's something you need to deal with. It's something you need to deal with right away. It's not a 95% blockage with God. It's 100% blockage. It doesn't hinder just parts of your prayers. It hinders all of your prayers to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Look at the last phrase. That your prayers be not hindered. The specific application here is to the husband and how he dwells with his wife and whether or not he gives honor to her. Gentlemen, if you don't give honor to your wife, if you don't treat her like a queen, if you don't realize she's God's gift to you, if you don't value her, if you step all over her, if you take her for granted, if you're unthankful, if you criticize her and put her down all the time, hear me, according to the scriptures, your prayers are hindered. They're hindered. God can't hear them. God can't hear prayers from a marital couple that's at conflict all the time. Giving verbal punches back and forth.
You're blocking. And you're blocking something that's very valuable in your life. You're blocking a time of prayer to God where God can hear you. You can make all kinds of pretense about your Christian life. You can be faithful in attending church. You can be in various church ministries. You can participate in all the activities. But I want you to remember something. God's eyes on your home life. He's watching what's going on at home. And if it's not right, your prayers are hindered. According to the Scriptures, I didn't say that. God put that in His Word. That's a serious matter to God. Your home is a serious matter. Proverbs 28:9 gives us another hindrance as I close the message this morning. That is a rebellious heart. Hinders prayer. A rebellious heart. Verse number 9 of Proverbs 28, the Bible gives us this simple truth. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. One of the things that we worked with our children on in the early years was when we were talking to them, we asked them for their eyes. Look at me. If they're looking at me, I have a better chance of them hearing me. But if my child came and looked at me and I began to give them a law, I began to put a rule down, or I began to rebuke them on something, and they turned, they have displayed something to me. They turned and walked away from it. Rebelled against it. Ignored it. I knew I had a deep heart problem to deal with. And the Bible says here, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. When that person prays to God, God hates it. God hates him trying to pray to him all the time having a rebellious heart. I've dealt with people on their hospital beds who have lived rebel lives and all of a sudden want God to heal them of something. Turn their ear from the law of God, never been interested in the Bible, not had an ounce of desire to walk in any of God's ways, and then all of a sudden pray to God. And God says, that's an abomination to me. That's detestable. That's something I can't even put my ear to because there's a rebellious heart. And Christian, if you've got a rebellious heart, you turn your ear away from the law of the Lord, it's the same with you. It's an abomination to God. God doesn't want your prayers, He wants your heart. God doesn't want your prayers, He wants your obedience, is what He's saying. A rebellious heart. Teach us to pray. When teaching us to pray, we've got to learn the blockages. In Zechariah chapter 7, yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets, there came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it come to pass that as He cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not. Powerful truth in Zechariah. God says, you harden your heart as stone. You become rebellious. You turn away your ear from hearing the law. I want you to know you're going to cry. And I am not going to hear. Brethren, that's a serious matter. A rebellious heart before God, God marks it as very serious. Could go on. Anxiety, idolatry are other hindrances. But if I want you to get something this morning, I want you to get this. You cannot live long with a blockage. Spiritually, you cannot live long with a blockage. What's the remedy for these hindrances, preacher? It's simple. It really is. God didn't make the word hard to understand. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. get this point as I close. Here's what the devil wants you to do and think. He wants you to think that the power line is irreparable. He wants you to think, if you've been involved in sin for some time, he wants you to think that, you know what, I can't get back to where I was. God's never going to hear me. I might as well just continue where I'm going because it's irreparable. And God says, no, it's not. It's not irreparable. It's simple. You confess. You agree with God about your sin. You don't have to atone for your sin, Christian. Jesus atoned for your sin. He was the atonement. It's an honest realization in your heart of a failure, of a sin. Confession cannot be simply a matter of the lips. For the mouth can say, I have sinned. But the heart can say, but it wasn't that bad. And it's really somebody else's fault. That's not confession. Confession is a heart decision. Confession is a heart realization. I've sinned. I've got nobody to blame for it but myself. I have committed the iniquity before God. It involves a penitent heart. It involves sincere repentance. It's realizing I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I've caused the Holy Spirit to cry over my sin. My testimony has been injured. My fellowship with God has been broken. My usefulness is not what it could be. Because there's no power, because there's no prayer life, it means that I come to God on that front and say, God, can you put a stent in? Because I got a blockage. Lord, you say that you will. Lord, you want fellowship with me. And I haven't valued my fellowship with you. And Lord, I'm not living that way another day. I'm not living that way another hour. I want the blockage taken care of.